Good morning, everyone. This morning we're in Leviticus chapter 12. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel, saying, when a woman gives birth to a male child, then she shall be unclean for 7 days. As in the days of her menstruation, she shall be unclean." Now, there's going to be some instruction here on both when a woman has a child, either male or female, and it's going to compare it to menstruation from the standpoint of uncleanness. And I want us to think for a moment about what it would have been like for a woman to give birth in that day. I can't even imagine. I mean, nowadays, you know, I have three children and was at the birth of all three. And, you know, you're in a hospital in a supposed, you know, sanitary environment. You obviously have bathrooms in your room. You have running water. You have doctors and nurses. You have all of the cleaning supplies you could possibly need. You have sanitation or, you know, garbage disposal, the correct kind of cloths and rags and everything that one would need. Well, in that day, can you imagine, ladies, being in menstruation or having a child, what that would have been like? I mean, you don't have running water in your home. You don't have some of the products that you can now buy at the store that help things to be less messy and more, you know, cleansy. So it really would have been, you know, there would have been blood around a lot and rags and everything else. So God felt it was appropriate for a woman during her time of menstruation or in childbirth to keep herself separate in order for the bleeding to no longer persist. I think also in addition, without the medical knowledge that we have today regarding disease, I think God was trying to set up for disease to not be passed along. And, you know, we do know today that there are many things that can be passed on through blood that makes blood, you know, sharing between people, as an example, more dangerous. So, therefore, in that day, they just said, "Hey, you're gonna remain separate." So, listen to this. Then says, "On the eighth day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised." So, obviously, if this was a male, there would be circumcision on the eighth day. We saw that in the birth of Jesus, and we saw that circumcision ended up becoming something that identified families and the males in the family as being part of God. We'll get that later in the Abrahamic covenant, and that's what they would do, would be circumcise all males to be associated with the people of God. Verse 4, "Then she shall remain in the blood of her purification for 33 days, and she shall not touch any consecrated thing, nor enter the sanctuary until the days of her purification are completed." And so this is allowing for the time for a woman to have her bleeding stop after having a child. "But if she bears a female child, then she shall be unclean for 2 weeks instead of the 1 week with the male, as in her menstruation, and she shall remain in the blood of her purification for 66 days. So isn't that interesting? We have a male child, 7 days of uncleanness and 33 days of purification, and we have double that essentially if she has a female. Now, people comment on this as far as why this may be. I've heard comments from the standpoint of, well, because Eve was the first one deceived at the fall, that this is why a female would go longer in cleanliness and purification if you had a female baby. I really don't know, and I really don't want to touch it. The Bible doesn't tell us why, and I don't really want to venture into something that I think is unclear biblically because it doesn't tell us. What I do want to say is a couple things. First off, we see a distinction between when someone had a male child and a female child. There was a distinction between male and female. Now, there's a passage in the New Testament. I think it's good to know. I'm going to pick it up in verse 27 of Galatians 3 briefly. It says, "For all of you," now that would include all, would include male and female, "for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." So whether male or female, right, we all who have been baptized, it's as though we have the clothes of righteousness. If we, of course, if our baptism reflects the fact that we believe in Jesus. And when it says all there, it specifies what the Apostle Paul is trying to get across. In verse 28, he said, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free man, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise." And basically, when it comes to being part of the family of God, and when it comes to salvation, it doesn't matter whether we are slave or free, whether we are male or female, whether we used to be Jew or Greek. What matters now is that we have placed our trust in Christ. And this passage in Galatians 3 here represents the fact of getting baptized, which is something that we talk about. And I think it's a great, honorable thing to do, a biblically described thing to do when you believe in Jesus on your own, that you would get water baptized. And in that way, you are all one in Christ. So there is a equivalation, there is a raising up of women in the New Testament to share in God's family and share in value and share in service in serving God's kingdom. And hallelujah, you know, I have a wife and I have a daughter, and I am grateful for them. I believe in them. I believe in their talents, their gifts, and I believe how they can be used for the glory of God. Now, with all of that said, one of the problems that we have today is that there's no distinction anymore. We say, you know, today that, you know, you can be whatever gender you want, or that there's no male roles, there's no female roles, that basically all of that goes out the window, and that there's no longer any distinction. And I want to say to you that I think that's untrue. I think that's a lie from our modern belief system. And what's happening today is we want to throw out all distinctions, and we want to just say everyone is exactly the same. And in that, we lose the beautiful role of women, the beautiful gifts of women unique to men, and also the beautiful role of men and the unique giftedness in men. And there is a distinction, and God shows in the Bible that He looks at men and women differently. That doesn't mean one's less valuable or less important. It's just that there's beauty in the fact that He made us male and female, and He sees us differently, not when it comes to salvation, but when it comes to who we were created to be. Now, that does not mean that women can't do things that men can do. It doesn't mean that women can't, you know, be used powerfully for God or in this world, but there's nothing wrong with having a distinction. And, you know, I think the feminist movement, one of the things that perhaps they lost sight of, or that was lost sight of in that movement, in raising up women, which is great, but sometimes it diminishes men. What it does sometimes, it can be like, well, all of a sudden men don't feel like they should lead. We'll just have women do everything. We'll have women lead everything. And God has called men to stand up and be men and be leaders in their family and in this world. And, you know, I know that my wife and my daughter know that I have a high view of them. But I also know when it comes down to it, if there is a decision or a leadership thing that needs to be taken in my home. Now, my daughter's married now, so she has a husband. But I think it's the same thing with them, too. Ultimately, I think they both know that they want a man who's going to lead. That doesn't mean that they don't want input. It doesn't mean that they don't want to be valued. But ultimately, they want a man who's going to be a leader. And I think that's the way it's supposed to be. So Let's not minimize women. Let's realize we're all one in Christ, but let's not so much throughout all distinctions that we don't have a difference between man and woman today. So let me move on. When the days of her purification are completed for a son or for a daughter, and here we see, even though we saw distinction regarding purification and cleanliness, here we see the same, and I think this is really important. When the days of her purification are completed for a son or for a daughter, see, it makes no difference. She shall bring to the priest at the doorway of the tent of meeting a one-year-old lamb for a burnt offering and a young pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering. If they had less money, they could bring that. Then he shall offer it before the Lord and make atonement for her, and she shall be cleansed from the flow of her blood. This is the law for her who bears a child, whether a male or a female. But if she cannot afford a lamb, then she shall take two turtle doves or two young pigeons, the one for a burnt offering and the other for a sin offering, and the priest shall make atonement for her, and she will be clean. And I think what's really important to see is this was for male or female. And the thing that is important to see here is that it's acknowledged already in the Old Testament the sin that is prevalent from birth. You know, there's this idea in the world today that man is inherently good and that when we're born, we're good. And ultimately, what God is showing is that even when we're born, whether male or female, we all need to bring an atonement. We all need to be forgiven of our sin and be atoned for, because we are born into sin. Ever since Adam and Eve violated God's rules and sinned, sin is part of the human race. And I want to read to you from Romans 5, verse 12. Listen to what it says. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Now, let me keep going. But the free gift, about Jesus, by the way, is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. And what we're having here in this chapter in Leviticus is we're seeing that after the child was born and the period of purification was done, they needed to bring an offering to the Lord, because mankind is sinful. And in order for us to be in right standing by God, we need to be atoned of our sin. We need a sacrifice. But no longer do we do that today. No longer can we bring animal sacrifices to be forgiven. The way to be forgiven today is still through sacrifice, but it's through Jesus Christ, the one who died for us. Just as all of us were made sinners by Adam and we are born into sin, now we are all made right if we place our faith in Jesus Christ. And he is the once and for all final sacrifice. And if we believe in him, we're forgiven of our sin and we're promised eternal life. So we see even in Leviticus 12 here that mankind needed a sacrifice. And today that sacrifice is Jesus. I hope this teaching blessed you today. God bless you all.